Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Double Coverage Podcast. As always, Stacy Blackwood here with Jake Thomas. Jake, how's it going tonight?
Going good, buddy, man. We got a lot of breaking news to cover and a lot of topics in general, so let's go ahead and get to it, man.
Yeah, like Jake mentioned, there's stuff happening right now as we record this podcast, and obviously a little bit earlier, there was breaking news in the NBA with the Knicks trade and then the Mavs.
Yep.
You know, the two big guys, you know, Kristaps Porzingis is heading out to Dallas.
Yep.
Part of a three-player trade on each side. The Mavs are going to get Porzingis, Hardaway Jr., and Courtney Lee. And they're also going to send two future first-round picks. So the Knicks are going to get the two future picks, Wesley Matthews, Dennis Smith Jr., and DeAndre Jordan.
Yeah, that's huge on both sides, I believe. It's a salary dump per se for the Knicks for the upcoming free agency this summer. There's a report out earlier that says that they can now sign two star players. So, you know, everybody wants to go to the Knicks. I mean, it's a good place to go to. It's got a lot of history. They haven't been successful here lately, but, I mean, there's been a lot of great names that's come through there. So, I mean, why wouldn't anybody want to go there?
Yeah, you know, like Jake said, it was really mostly a cap move for the Knicks. I mean, they get a couple nice pieces. Matthews is a nice player. He's on the last leg of his career, but he's an adequate NBA player.
Yeah.
Dennis Smith Jr., he's got some potential, but he's not a superstar, but he's a solid player. And then you got DeAndre Jordan, who's going to get you a double-double every game. So, yeah. I mean, you got a little something, plus the two future first-round picks. And like Jake said, you got some wiggle room now in the free agency here in the summer of 2019. And obviously, I think the biggest name to watch out for is Kevin Durant.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I hate to say this, being a Charlotte Hornets fan, but don't sleep on Kemba Walker, too. I mean, he's a free agent. But, you know, he loves the city of Charlotte, but, you know, and Charlotte can give him the max deal, but if he wants to go somewhere to actually contend, I hate to say this, but Charlotte's nowhere near ready to contend. They got too many bad contracts. But, you know, New York Knicks really love him as well, just about as much as they love Kyrie. So, you know, that would be a big pickup for them if they decide to do it.
Yeah, and you mentioned Kyrie Irving. You know, he's actually kind of voiced that he would like to team back up with LeBron.
Yeah.
I guess he realized that the grass isn't green on the other side, and he had it made playing with the best player in the NBA.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But
speaking of
LeBron and the Lakers, obviously it was broke earlier this week that Anthony Davis will not be a Pelican after this season.
Yeah.
Whether he's traded before the trade deadline or he just will re-sign somewhere else this summer, he is out of he's getting out of New Orleans either way. And obviously, as soon as that broke, it was, you know, rumors flying about who could send what to New Orleans to get Anthony Davis. And obviously, one of those teams was the Los Angeles Lakers. And we put a poll up if the Lakers did trade for Anthony Davis, would that make him a contender for the championship? I think it does. Jake doesn't think so. So Jake's going to expand on that now.
yeah, you're going to have LeBron and you're going to have Davis together. But I feel like being in the West, it's, you know, the West, we said it's the toughest place or the toughest, you know, conference in the NBA. And, I mean, you still got the big three there in Golden State, of course. If KD decides to leave, they'll only have Curry and Thompson. Yeah, Davis and LeBron together would be awesome to watch. But, I mean, the proposed trades that I've been seeing is that they're going to have to send Ball to the Pelicans and Kuzma. Kuzma, to me, looks like a star in the making. And I mean, you would hate – I feel like you would hate to give that up. But, I mean, it's Anthony Davis. So, I understand that. But if you get – if you get him, you trade your point guard of the future pretty much, and Lonzo Ball, who's going to be dishing the passes to LeBron and to Davis and all that. You're going to have to fill in with vet guys. Yeah, but
well, they have Rondo. They still have Hart. And LeBron, when he's playing, he's the dominant ball handler. So you don't really have to have a true point guard. So to me, like Jake said, the deal would include Lonzo, Kuzma, Zubac in a first round pick, and maybe a couple other guys. It kind of just kind of wait and see, and then the Lakers would obviously get Anthony Davis. But to me, and I know they had to go through the East to get there. But last year LeBron made it without anybody.
Yeah, that's a good
point. To the finals without anybody.
Yeah,
I mean, who was the next best player?
Kevin Love, who stayed injured all year.
Right. I mean.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is LeBron with Anthony Davis is the best big man in the NBA. I mean, it's not even close, really.
Yeah.
It's Anthony Davis is the most dominant big man in the league. Him and a guy from Philadelphia. his name is just
Embiid.
Yeah, Joel Embiid.
Yep.
I mean, they are the two most dominant big men in the league. But Anthony Davis is just. I don't know. It's just something different about him.
I remember him in college on that Kentucky team. I mean, he was a special team. Definitely.
But, I mean, you look at a guy like Anthony Davis, obviously we know what LeBron can do. He's going to get you almost 30 points a game, almost 10 assists, and almost 10 rebounds every game. So, you can just take that to the bank.
Yeah.
And then you add a guy like Anthony Davis who's going to get you – he's averaging this year 29 points, 13 rebounds, and 3 blocks.
So, yeah, that's big.
I mean, so you're talking about two guys that are going to get you 30 points and, you know, over 20 rebounds. And they're, Anthony Davis is going to get you a few blocks. And he can stretch the floor as a big man. He can run the floor as a big man. He can defend all five positions. He would be critical on them switches against the Warriors, you know, with Curry bringing it up. So that would be big. And like Jake said, you would have to find some roles for other guys. But I'm confident that if LeBron could, you know, make the Warriors work with last year's Cavaliers team, he can definitely make the Warriors work with the team he has now right now in Los Angeles. And then you add Anthony Davis.
You mean the Lakers. You said the Warriors.
I mean the Lakers.
two things to look into here. It was brought out today that if Anthony Davis is not traded, that's going to keep him out of the lineup for the rest of the year. That's something to watch out for. And the other thing is, Jrue Holiday, once all this started breaking, you know, he just signed a new contract.
Yeah,
and he said that the reason why he stayed was because of Anthony Davis. So will he be the next one to ask for a trade out of New Orleans? I mean, you know, it just seems like the city of New Orleans can't catch a break right now. I mean, we had Ref
was a small part of the re-signing of them because of the of Anthony Davis, or was it the $25 million a year he's going to make?
That's a good
he wasn't going to get that anywhere else. That had the biggest. That was the biggest factor. Was the cash. So I mean, he can tweet that if he wants, and obviously he would rather Anthony Davis stay with Pelican.
Yeah.
But he's got his money either way.
And Pelicans are not – I mean, they're a decent team, but they're not, you know, they're not loaded with star power. I mean, you got Davis and Holiday pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, hey, Jrue Holiday is having a great year, 21 points a game and 8 assists. So,
yeah.
I mean, he's having a really good season.
I guess really, yeah, I think they can make the playoffs. The Lakers can if they get Davis. But my thing is, I don't think they still need another piece to contend for the West and for a championship. And that comes this summer if Kawhi Leonard.
He's not coming.
You think he's going to stay a Raptor?
I think he's going to the Clippers.
Oh, that's a good point. I didn't think about the Clippers.
But Los Angeles, they're if they could send what we mentioned earlier, Ball, Kuzma, and Zubac in a first-round pick, and they can keep Brandon Ingram.
Ingram's a big key for that.
So, I mean, if they have a lineup of Rondo, Hart, James, Ingram, mm-hmm. and Anthony Davis,
that's
a legitimate lineup.
It is.
That is a legitimate lineup. And you still have Tyson Chandler, who's a rebounding machine and a great defensive guy. JaVale McGee's one of the leading shot blockers in the NBA.
Yep.
So you still have guys like that and Lance Stephenson that can come off the bench.
And
if you could keep KCP, he's a great three-point shooter. So the pieces would be there for Los Angeles.
You got JaVale McGee too.
But they got to get LeBron back on the court. I think they list him as probable tonight. So he'll be back in the next couple games. But you know, before he was injured, they were 20-14.
Yeah.
And now they're 26-25. So they're 6-11 without LeBron James. So obviously the team, you know, misses him severely. And actually, it took them several games to even win one without him. I think it went to, like, dating back to when he was a Cavalier. When LeBron was not in the lineup, his team was 0-13 in the last 13 games. Obviously, the Lakers have won a few since then, but it's obvious how instrumental he is for his teams that he's playing on.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt. You know, LeBron is probably one of the greatest players in our generation, no doubt about it. He probably is the greatest, you know, on everybody's got a different opinion. But my only thing with LeBron, and I said it earlier about, you know, you have Kemba Walker who is stuck, you know, with the Hornets, and he has been loyal to that team for his entire career. And he's also made the comment he would like to stay in Charlotte because he loves it. But you have LeBron, who's, to me, he's followed the stardom. He's gone, you know, he left Cleveland, where he grew up at, and went to Miami with Bosch and Wade, then come back and won a championship, but then he left them again to go out to L.A. So I
hear what you're saying, but comparing Kemba Walker to LeBron James is like comparing me to somebody that's playing college basketball right now. There's no, you can't compare the two because they're not equal.
No, they're not, but you it's just a loyalty.
Yeah, but look what Kemba's loyalty has got him.
Nowhere.
Exactly.
Because it's the ownership. It's been terrible.
You hear that,
Michael Jordan? You need to get better players.
And you know, that could we could talk about this forever, but people who question LeBron's loyalty is to winning.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what he's loyal to. I mean, he tried to stick it out with Cleveland in his first stint there, and the next best player they had was Mo Williams.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, mm-hmm. and he took him to the finals. I mean, what else could he do with that group? So he wanted to go win a championship, so he teamed up with Bosch and Wade in Miami, and they won a couple. And obviously, Wade was starting to decline, and Bosch was getting declining. You know, declining as well. And, you know, he's had health problems actually ever since. But So LeBron could kind of see the writing on the wall, decided to go back to his hometown and try to win a championship, and he did. And he wins him a championship, and they decide not to put any talent around him.
Yeah.
Kyrie wants to leave, and they make a terrible trade for an injured 5'9" point guard in Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah.
I mean, so they showed no loyalty to him, and I think this move to L.A. is more about his post-basketball career than anything. He's mentioned that he wants to, you know, be a producer and do movies and TV shows and stuff like that. So, and I think his kids play ball out in Los Angeles. So it was more of a move based on things outside of basketball. And he also knew in the back of his mind that LA has the resources to build a team around him to maybe push for another NBA championship before he rides off in the sunset, so to speak.
But me being a Bama fan, I would love to see him and Colin Sexton.
That would have been fun.
That would have been fun. They would have been a couple years away from winning a championship, but Colin Sexton's pretty much led the Cavaliers team this year. They still have no help. I mean, Thompson's a good player. You know, he'll score. I think he's like 12 and 12 this year. You know, rebounding and scoring. But you know, Colin Sexton has been the guy for the Cavaliers, and it's funny. You know, it come out that some of the players are saying that you know he wasn't ready to be a starter on the team because he was still, I guess you call it, immature on basketball stuffs. But I mean, look at him now. So I just thought that would be pretty cool to see.
The Cavaliers are. Every one of their players is a bench player. Yeah. Colin Sexton has a chance to be a good, solid NBA starter.
Yeah.
But there's nobody on that team that should be a starter in the NBA.
No.
They're all bench players.
Yeah, they are.
But that's an entirely different subject as well. But, you know, so we've kind of told you about what's happening in the NBA right now.
Yep.
Obviously, the getting closer to the trade deadline. And, you know, earlier, actually, one more thing about the Anthony Davis thing, it was said earlier today that or it might have been yesterday, I can't remember when I read it, that the Pelicans were not even picking up the phone when Los Angeles called. And now Adrian Wojnarowski tweeted out 4 hours ago that the Lakers and Pelicans executives have connected on the phone concerning Anthony Davis and that they're expected to talk again prior to next week's trade deadline. So there's still that possibility.
Yep, there is.
So we'll just kind of see what happens there, and obviously, if a trade happens, we'll touch on that when it does come out. But moving on to some other breaking news, this is in college football. The NCAA laid the hammer down on Missouri.
Yeah,
they're now going to receive a postseason ban for next season for a tutor taking test.
Yeah, for
12 players on. On a couple different sports, so yeah. The NCAA is a joke to me.
Amen.
So the people that are going to be punished are the players on the team, the respected teams that had nothing to do with what they're being punished for.
Right, exactly.
I mean, how ignorant is that?
That is.
So obviously Missouri said they're going to appeal the ruling and – but you know how that usually works.
Mm-hmm.
And I did hear that one of the reasons the NCAA come down on them so hard is because Missouri was not wanting to cooperate with them. Who knows about that? I mean, only the people involved know the truth behind that. But, you know, I hate it for Missouri. I think I like their program. I like Barry Odom. I think he's a solid coach.
Me too.
You know, Kelly Bryant just transferred there. He did say that he was going to stay,
though. Yeah, he's going to stay.
So that's good news for them. But I just hate it for their players. It's kind of a crappy thing to do, really, from the NCAA.
Oh, yeah. I hate it for Kelly Bryant because, like you said, he just transferred into there, but he is staying, he said. I hate it for the players. I think they could have been, you know, they probably won about 8 games and would have got a pretty good bowl. But, yeah, it's just heartbreaking for them, you know.
Yeah, and you know, but all the seniors can transfer.
Yes,
you know, freely, which I mean that's kind of the NCAA's way of covering up their ruling.
Back to the transfer quarter.
But you know, truthfully, their schedule this coming season is not terrible in conference play. They really only have. They have a three-week stretch in October and in the first week of November where it's kind of tough, where they play at Vanderbilt, at Kentucky, and then at Georgia.
Ooh.
But other than that, they you know they draw Ole Miss the West Side.
West Side, yeah.
So, you know, that's not a bad draw. And, you know, they got Tennessee and Florida at home, so anything can happen in those games. And obviously they play Arkansas every year, kind of as a rivalry game, so that's not really another tough draw from the West. So
South Carolina's not really that good.
So they have a favorable schedule, and, you know, if all their seniors would have been able to return, and with Kelly Bryant at quarterback, I know they had a lot of their defense coming back this year, they could have made a run and competed for the East. So
I agree.
it's just a bad situation in Missouri. So I hate it for their fans, and you know, it's not even really good for the conference when one of the teams is banned from a bowl.
Yeah, you're right.
But you know, that's kind of it on the breaking news front. We're gonna move into some Alabama basketball, talk about some Bama hoops, and you know, they're really playing well right now. They hadn't won all the games, but they're playing well. It's really good to see the team really just play more consistent. They played more consistent, I guess, is what you need to say. You know, from the Tennessee game to this couple nights ago when they beat Mississippi State.
I've said it. Dante Hall needs to be more of a part on the offensive end. And, yeah, he has some bogus – you know, fouls called against him. And really, you know, first 5 minutes of game, there was no fouls called. There was playing. But Dante Hall only had 23 minutes, but he had 19 points and 7 rebounds. I mean, if I can get 19 points out of him every game, I feel good about our chances. And another thing is, you know, John Petty has seemed to find his groove here lately, shooting the ball. He played 23 minutes the other night. Riley Norris had a good game off the bench. Petty had a good game off the bench. Galen Smith had a good game, I thought, off the bench.
Yeah, he played well when he came in.
And, it's just good to see this team. I feel like it's turning the curve a little bit, you know. Be interesting to see how they play Saturday. They got the Iron Bowl of basketball this Saturday.
I hate that term. It's not the Iron Bowl of basketball. There's no such thing as the Iron Bowl of basketball or any other sport. Yeah. Really, the football game is no longer the Iron Bowl. It's not played in Birmingham.
Yeah, that's right.
So that's kind of a dated term, but I know why they use it. I understand, but it gets on my nerves.
But we was talking before we started, but I told you, you know, Auburn lives and dies off the three, and they haven't been shooting the ball good here lately. So I think we can go down to Auburn and steal one, and if we can steal one down there, it'd be great. You know, did we beat them both times last year?
We played them three times, yeah. Won two and lost one.
Yeah, so we beat them in the first round of the SEC tournament, which is big, second round. And I think we can go down there and steal one. If we play the way we've been playing here lately, we took the number one team to the ropes the other night. Yeah. So.
Hey, I want to give a quick shout-out. If you love college basketball, you need to follow Eric Haslam on Twitter. Mm-hmm. He's at Haslam Metrics on Twitter, so make sure you give him a follow. He's got his own little algorithm that he uses to look at basketball teams and how they're playing, you know, efficiency wise and what their best performances are. And, yeah. And you know, it's something interesting is three of Alabama's five best performances has come in January.
Yeah.
So the team is playing their best ball right now of the season. And it's good. And like Jake said, Auburn hasn't been – you know, they won big last night with a big second half, but mm-hmm. Against Missouri, who's not very good.
Yeah.
But this is a really good opportunity for Alabama to steal a quality road win.
Yeah. I think we can too.
You know, really, like Jake said, Auburn lives and dies by the three. So if they are not shooting well Saturday – It'll bode well for Alabama. And you know, speaking of Haslametrics, like I said, follow him on Twitter. Right now, Alabama's eighth in the country with his algorithm in momentum.
Wow!
So they're playing as far as his algorithm is concerned. They have a lot of momentum right now. It's good to be going into your rivalry game mm-hmm. With momentum, especially when you're playing on the road. It's a night game at Auburn Arena. I'm sure the place will be packed.
Yeah.
It'll be loud. So I'm really looking forward to the game Saturday night. I hope Alabama can steal one on the road. But even if they can't steal one, they need to play well and just make sure their confidence is still up after Saturday night, whether they win or lose.
Right. And we got Georgia coming up, then at Vandy, and again at Mississippi State. And then Florida. So, you know, there's some games here with the next, you know, two, three, four games that we can win. Like Stacey said, even if we do lose at Auburn, I believe we can beat Georgia. Vandy at home, you know, or Vandy's on the road, but Vandy at home itself is – It's so tough to beat them.
It's tough to play there, but they're struggling this year. I think this could finally be the season we beat Vanderbilt in Nashville.
Yeah.
But like Jake said, the next five games are on the road at Auburn, home versus Georgia, on the road at Vanderbilt, on the road at Mississippi State, and then hosting Florida. So a lot of big matchups coming up in the next five games. If Alabama could go 3-2 in that stretch, that would be big. That would put them at 7-5 in conference play.
Yeah.
And then they got a couple more winnable games where they play Texas A&M and Vanderbilt again. So Alabama has a chance to finish really strong in conference play.
Yeah.
You know, we put a poll up on Twitter about if they would finish over 500, at 500, or below 500 in conference play.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it was like 60-something percent said it'd be above 500. Yeah. And that's kind of what I'm leaning to right now. I'm thinking they have a chance. I'm saying at best they're going to finish about 12-6 in conference play.
Oh, wow.
And I would say at worst 9-9 in conference play. Yeah. So it's going to most likely it'll be about 10-8 or 11-7.
Yeah.
But I think Alabama has the ability to finish about 12-6 in conference play. And if they finish 12-6 in conference play, they will get a really good seed in the NCAA tournament.
I agree. And right now, I think I've seen that we are 12th seed right now.
I think we'd probably be in a play-in game right now.
Yeah.
You know, kind of according to who you look at.
Right.
But there's so much can change.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, as far as Alabama is concerned, you know, the last several games, Herb Jones has been in foul trouble.
Yeah.
I mean, he's playing well in the minutes that he's getting to play, but he's just not getting enough minutes because of foul trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And so if he can ever get going, if he can, you know, stay on the court for 25-plus minutes and you know, get 8 to 10 points a game, it will take this Alabama team to a different level. And if that can happen, you know, watch out because this team's talented and they're playing well right now.
And, you know, like I say, if Dante Hall continues doing what he does on the offensive end, that just bodes wonders for this team. You know, it feels like, you know, the beginning of the season, we relied on our kid point guard, and now he's getting a little bit more help. And he only had 9 points the other night, but he's still, you know, distributing the ball well.
Yeah, he's not having to make all the plays now.
Exactly. So it's good to see. You know, late in the game, I like to see a little bit the ball handling improve a little bit more. You know.
Yeah, it's frustrating to watch us inbound the ball when teams are pressuring.
I know.
I don't understand why we can't. I mean, we struggle just to get the ball inbounded.
I know.
Even when we get it, we travel or turn it over. I mean, it's just.
Yeah.
I don't understand that. That's for whatever. I know they practice it. I mean, obviously, every team practices. For some reason, they're just.
Yeah.
They're cursed right now when it comes to late game inbounding.
And like you said, the last minute, 48 seconds of that game was the most excruciating thing you had to deal with in your life.
Yeah, it was very excruciating to watch.
Yeah.
But hopefully, like we said earlier, that Alabama can play well Saturday night in Auburn and get a win in Auburn Arena in front of their home crowd.
Yeah. Yeah.
But moving on, the last thing we're going to talk about tonight is obviously the Super Bowl coming up this Sunday at 5:30. I think CBS has the game.
Yeah, I think so.
So that's great because I can't wait to hear Tony Romo. He is fantastic.
Man,
he is awesome. Incredible.
He is.
That's a side note.
Yeah.
But, you know, as far as the game goes, you know, we kind of touched on it last week and how it's kind of the new wave with Goff and Sean McVay against the –
The old timers
and Tom Brady and Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
So it's that's kind of an interesting outside storyline, so to speak, as far as the game goes. You know, we talked about how we both were leaning towards the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Jake still feels the same way or not. I still feel that way. I feel like the experience of the Patriots and Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and, you know, Rob Gronkowski and Dante Hightower and all those guys that's just been there before.
Yeah.
That'll be enough to you know, overcome the talent of the Los Angeles Rams. Because talent-wise, they are the more talented team.
Oh, yeah.
But I think that New England will come up with a plan defensively to limit Todd Gurley in the rushing attack of the Rams. And I think the Rams will put up some points.
Yeah.
And I think it'll kind of be a similar game to what the Kansas City Chiefs games was with the Patriots. And I think the Patriots just make some plays at the end of the game, and I think they're going to come away with a 34-30 victory.
Yeah, that's a good score there. Yeah, you know, it's hard to go against Tom Brady when he's in the Super Bowl. Yeah, they got beat last year. But, you know, Tom Brady, this is a not Super Bowl. You can't go against Tom Brady or Bill Belichick in the Super Bowl. It's just, you know, but I know a lot of people do. A lot of people say they hate seeing the Patriots in every year. But, you know, I agree with you. I think, you know, Todd Gurley's had a good year, and Jerry Goff has too. I think they're going to make Goff have to take over the game, you know, late, and I think he may make a mistake and throw a pick late in the game, and kind of pretty much seal the game. I think it's going to be, I'm saying 28-24. And what's interesting is they asked Tony Romo, going back to him, what he thought on his prediction. He said 28-24, and whoever had the ball last will not score. So, yeah, so he didn't say who was going to have the ball last, but so that's something that's interesting to take. And, you know, Tony Romo has been lights out on his play calling, you know, in the booth. So it's be interesting to see if that holds true or not.
Right. You know, Bill Belichick is his calling card, so to speak, is taking away what you do best.
Oh, yeah.
So I think what separates the Rams is Todd Gurley.
Yeah.
And so I think the Patriots will be all out on stopping Todd Gurley. And like Jake said, they're going to force Jared Goff to make the plays. And if he makes them, he makes them. And if he don't, then the Patriots are going to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I agree.
And, you know, they would have two more Super Bowls if it wasn't for two separate incredible catches by the New York Giants receivers.
Yeah, yeah.
David Tyree and Mario Manningham.
Yeah, I mean, those are awesome plays. I mean, that's Super Bowl moments you will never forget. Right. I mean, I'll never forget them. But, yes. You know, and it's just – but we said it last week. I got to say it again, but Tom Brady's 41 years old, and he is, you know, he's still playing it. Not as high of a level as he was, but, I mean, it's just – crazy on what he can do, you know, and it's amazing to see at 41 years old.
It really is, and you know, I'll, I'm pulling for the Patriots. I want them to win, and you know, I hope Brady comes back and plays a couple more years. I think he's already said he's going to come back and play, so hopefully he can win him another one. And you know, we're looking forward to that game, so make sure you check that out Sunday afternoon, night, whatever you want to call it. I think it starts at 5:30 Central Time on CBS. So we look forward to that. We look forward to Alabama basketball Saturday night in Auburn.
Yeah.
They play on ESPN2 at 7 Central.
Yep.
So make sure you check that game out. Make sure you follow us on Twitter. Follow the podcast at @DoubleCov_pod. Tweet at us using the hashtag #DoubleCoverage.
Mm-hmm.
You can tweet at me, Stacy Blackwood, at Blackwood89.
I'm at JTHDoubleCover1. And before we say goodbye, there's a couple of topics to look forward to in the future within the next couple of weeks. You know, the talks with JT Realmuto, the catcher at Miami, they're getting heated up. They're saying that the Padres, the Reds, the Dodgers, and the Braves are all in advanced stages of talks. And the other one is the Padres are going to meet with Harper tomorrow. So I don't think he'll go there, but it's just something to keep an eye out on.
Yep, so there's and they report for spring training next week or the week after. So it's real soon.
I think pitchers and catchers do.
It's real soon. So baseball season is right around the corner.
Yep.
So we look forward to that. You know, we tweeted out earlier in the week that we were going to try to be more involved with our local high school athletes and the programs around us. You know, there's a lot of high school talent, especially in basketball in this area. So
yep.
That's something to look forward to.
The kid from Hartsell, I think he's only a sophomore, ain't he?
Yeah,
I mean, that's
– the people's kid. He got his 1,000th career point as a sophomore.
Yeah.
Also, a kid that plays at Lindsay Lane Christian Academy in Athens.
Mm-hmm.
He is the nation's leading scorer in boys basketball. He's averaging over 40 points a game.
Wow.
And he's only a junior. Mm-hmm. And he actually has a chance. You know, he's I think he's at close to 4,000 career points.
Dang.
So he has a chance after next year to be at 5,000 career points.
That's insane.
That's his name's Tommy Murr out of Lindsay Lane Christian Academy. So, there's a lot of exciting things happening locally that we would like to talk about, and we hope to bring you some of that news. And we appreciate all the support, and we look forward to talking to y'all again. We hope y'all have a good night.
See y'all.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.